bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come to you this Father's Day, and knowing, Father, that you are definitively our Father, for your genes flow through our lives, your character, your nature is being molded into everything that we do and say. Help us, O God, to reflect you in everything, and help us to die to self, that we might, as Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. The Son can of himself do nothing, but what he sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And a very happy Father's Day to all your fathers in here, and your potential fathers. This morning we're going to be looking again at desperation. And before we do, I just want to greet all of those people around the world who are hooking up with us, from Uganda to England to Norway to South America. We have, actually, I'm going to show you a little picture here. If I can find it. And these are the brethren overseas. 113 nations are hooked up with us. They hook up on a regular basis. Josh, could you zoom in on that? We have 14 different locations in South America, two in Venezuela, and 12 in Brazil. Typically, in Brazil, we'll have as many as 14. And then we have one over in Chile. And then we have in India and in Africa, different places, South Africa, Brother Mark Bailey, his family, and different ministers over there. Are you able to get that? Okay. Just to show you that we're not alone here in this little congregation, but we have believers with us all over the world. And I'm very thankful for that. And puts a little pressure on me, but that's okay. Now this morning we're going to look again at Brother Branham's sermon, Desperation. And we found so far that Brother Branham has been referring to Jacob and Ruth and Eliezer as he shows us scriptural examples of believers who are in a desperate situation. But notice these examples are not just of desperate people, because a lot of people are desperate. But rather, in their desperation, their faith took hold, and they cried out to God, and they walked away victorious. There we go. And in the next few paragraphs, we're going to find Brother Brown adding to that list with Jonah and Hannah, the Shunammite woman, and blind Bartimaeus. So I thought this would be a good time for us, for the next maybe month or so, to begin looking at these Bible characters, because Brother Brad said, find yourself in the Bible. Find someone you identify with, a situation they're going through, how they overcame, because their faith, the desperation was just a tool that God used to set their faith in motion, to bring into manifestation. Like the Apostle Paul, as an example, he was the first one to come out and say that he had been persecuting the saints and this and that, but when God had separated him from his mother's womb and chose to reveal himself, or to reveal his son in me, is what he said. Well, God wants to reveal his son in each of us, because we're brothers and sisters. Then after he's finished with the Bible characters, he goes into a list of people that he has seen himself in his own personal life, people who were in times of desperation, and their faith took hold, like Hattie Wright and different ones like that. We also see in Hebrews 11 that the Apostle Paul had a list of Bible characters for us to study to see how that they manifested their faith during great times of trial and times of great and personal desperation. In each of these, we see how that throughout their trials, their desperation is what set faith in motion for God to come on the scene and make a desperate people a victorious people. Now, we are coming to the place ourselves. And I think this is very good that we're looking at the individuals, because not only is it good for the young people that are young in the Lord and or young in the message or whatever, but also it's kind of helps us just to relax a little bit. When you look at other people, talk to other people that have gone through things, it helps you in your own situation. Well, if anybody's going to be desperate in this hour, here we are. And overseas, but mostly here in America, I'll tell you why. Because of the political situation is such that I don't think, no matter how good the opposition is, we've got a woman who has a political machine, she has a media, she has all of the evil of this nation behind her. In other words, she has Satan himself in her court. And we're going to see, and I'm going to show you later on in this message, that these things are unstoppable. There's only one thing that can stop it, and that's for the nation to repent. Will they? Vindicated prophets said they never will do it. Now, as I said, we see in Hebrews 11 that the Apostle Paul had a list of Bible characters for us to study out to see how that they manifested their faith during great times of trial and in times of great and personal desperation. In each of these, we see how that throughout their trials, their desperation is what set that faith in motion for God to come on the scene and make a desperate people a victorious people. In Hebrews 11:1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And Brother Brown taught us that faith is a revelation. So we read here, "Now revelation is the substance of things hoped for." And this word substance was translated from the Greek word hypostasis. And this word hypostasis is also translated by the same author, Paul, in Hebrews 1, 10 chapters earlier, in verse 3, when he speaks of Jesus Christ being the exact image of God's person. And this word person is also the same Greek word, hypostasis. Thus we read in 11:1, "Now faith is the hypostasis of things hoped for." And in Hebrews 1:1, we read, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds," he is still speaking of the Son here, "who being the brightness of his glory," God's glory, "and the express image of God's person," hypostasis, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Now, since Paul tells us in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus is the exact representation of God's person, or hypostasis, and in Hebrews 11:1, we see that faith is the substance, or the hypostasis, of things hoped for. Therefore, we can see that this substance that we hope for is actually the person of God himself that we hope for. For since God is invisible, he is the evidence of things not even seen. For by it, now what is this it Paul speaks of here? By God himself, he is telling us, the elders obtained a good report. Because if God didn't give the good report, who's going to give it for him? Through faith, through revelation, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. So really, when we speak of faith, Brother Brown taught us that faith is a revelation. And since we also are taught by the Apostle Paul that there is only one faith, thus there is only one revelation, and he says, and there's one Lord. Thus there's only one revelation of the one Lord. And since faith is a revelation, then Paul is teaching us that this one faith is the revelation of the one Lord. And we have to know that before we can understand the rest of what Paul is telling us in Hebrews 11, we must understand that. Because if we don't understand that, we have no clue what faith is. The Lutherans think that Lutheranism is faith. The Baptists think the Baptist doctrine is faith. It's not. Faith is the revelation of the one Lord. That's it. By faith, by the revelation of this one Lord, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Notice, by his revelation of the one Lord, he offered back blood. Cain had no revelation of the one Lord. He offered up fruits. By faith, by the revelation of this one Lord, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God, that he pleased that one Lord. Now, we have a scene taking place in this hour. Jesus said, I only do that which is pleasing to my Father. I only do that which is pleasing to the one Lord. You understand? The more and more we understand the Godhead, the relationship between Father and Son, the more and more and more we have the faith that Paul's talking about here. And that faith will change us. That faith takes a hold of us. In fact, I'd like to read, if you don't mind, and I won't say who it came from, but I will just tell you it's from Africa. The brother says, thanks for sharing this with me. That's really God in simplicity, and I appreciate that. Let me say this humbly. I was preaching in 2004 that Jesus Christ has already come for the second time. Oneness, and so on. During this time, honestly, I was backsliding in my life, though it was hidden in my soul, but I can tell you, I started loving things that I rejected days before. Though I entered into the doctrine in 2004, that's when I went over with Christina and we held meetings over there, I really started experiencing this blessed truth in 2012 during the Mabanza Ngungu meetings. That's when the Holy Spirit came down. When he taught on the trail of adoption and spoke to me personally concerning how that I had to behave myself facing the brothers of Kinshasa's attitude. From that time, my eyes were really open. I started focusing on my call and nothing else. This helped me to find out my place in the kingdom. I know, Brother Brian, that you met many hypocrites around your ministry. I pray God all the time not to be one. The things which helped me the most is your statement on dying to self in most of your sermon emails to me and emails to me. And really, it changed my way of seeing things because I knew then it's the way to experience John 5:19. The Son can do nothing because he's totally subjected to the Father. But how can he be so subjected until he dies to his own will and desires? During my prayers, most of the time I'm praying to die and to die to self. And really experience a life full of peace and joy, holiness and anointing. See a total change in my ministry because I'm identified with what I'm teaching. As I said to my people, the evidence of believing the Godhead is to see your own life identifying you as a son and a little brother of Jesus Christ. So it's not just quotes and scriptures, but it's a life. And this influence goes deep within me in my way of living with my wife, and my kids, my parents and neighbors, even colleagues. I may not have such experience as you had by grace of God, but by God's grace, the Lord being sovereign, but I want to let you know that the way the work raised up from 2012 after the boycott is really a miracle, from the translation work to the mission work through building a church room and mission room and etc. And I believe that we have to look on the Holy Spirit alone. Most of the project we work here for the kingdom's sake came through an inspiration and success of all the brethren. Brother, I'm not going in the fields to demonstrate a truth, but to share with my brother something that's real, something which saves me and makes me what I am. Like a healed person from a certain disease who longed to share the drugs which made him healed, and it's not something mental, but it's real. So as I shared with you last time, from printing the book through we will continue as the Lord will provide, I feel now to go into the field in the different places that I had to go, as in Lubumbashi, Goma, etc. I think honestly the Lord bearing me record that I should not go in days past
though I wanted to go, but I think humbly now I'm ready to go. So I commit it to him. I had some other ones I wanted to share with you, but we're seeing brethren, because of this understanding of the relationship between Father and Son, learning how to die to self is transforming brethren all over the world. I see it transforming brethren here. I see it in you. And I see it in the brothers overseas. That it's not just doctrine. It's not just something that we understand. But it's actually the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That is what these examples are all about. Brother Branham is letting us know with Jacob, with Ruth, with Eliezer, with today we're going we're looking at the different ones, but we're going to look at Jonah. How that these men, they're all human beings, but they're all children of God. And they all came to a certain place of desperation. And when they got desperate, they got beside themselves. And they began to pray. And God opened the doors of heaven. He heard their prayer. And he came down and changed their situation. So we're speaking not just of faith as though it's something that you know, but actually we're speaking of faith as a living reality of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul says there's one faith because there's only one Lord. He says faith is revelation. Then what Paul is teaching us is that this one faith is the revelation of that one Lord. And you can see how the revelation of that one Lord affected people all the way back. Samson, Jephthah, Gideon, Barak. Not the one in the White House that had to change too many because he doesn't have the revelation. But Barak. I'll call him Barak. In the Old Testament. By faith. By the revelation of this one Lord, Abel. Because Abel had a revelation of the one true Lord, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, by the revelation of this one Lord, Enoch, he's a type of the bride. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was found and not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Paul tells us that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. When the mind is renewed, the body follows suit. When the body follows suit, if the mind is renewed in righteousness, the body will show righteousness. It'll show the light. But without faith, without this revelation of this one Lord, it is impossible to please this one Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, not dilatory, but diligently seek him. By faith, by the revelation of this one Lord, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by the revelation of this one Lord. By the revelation of this one Lord, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, by the revelation of this one Lord, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is this one Lord. Hallelujah. You can see it's the revelation of Jesus Christ all the way through, from Adam all the way up. The same thing that God himself came down with the shout to restore to the people. That which the palm were made, that which the canker were made, all of that which basically the Trinitarian system ate up. And God came down and restored in this hour. Through the revelation of this one Lord, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful. This one Lord. You see? Who faithful? She judged the one Lord faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith. These all died having revelation of this one Lord. Not having yet received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, we know that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, right? Have you embraced that yet? Has that actually taken place yet? It's still a little bit far off, but we're in the process. And who was Jesus conformed to? He was made in the image of the Father, of this one Lord. So you see, just like them, having this promise of glory, having a promise of resurrection, a right resurrection, having a promise of things to come, that kept them, like Brother Brad said, focused on the end. Like the little boy riding the bicycle, he didn't fall off because he was focused on the end. Not on this and that, not on the tumults that come, the tumults that go, not on the trials that come, the trials that go. Excuse me. He had himself fixed on the end. So these all died in faith. These all died having the revelation of this one Lord, not having received the promise yet, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, if America were the Christian nation that we look back and believe that it was at one time, you wouldn't have the spurs under you wouldn't have the fire under you to get out of this nation or out of this world. Everything is falling apart. And that's good, because you have less that you want to hold on to. Had you been mindful of the city from which you came, or the place from which you came, you'd have a mind to go back to it. But every day we see in the newspapers the agitation to our soul, the agitation which grieves you daily, and you sigh and cry for the abominations done in the capital and in the city. And you say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Because God has prepared for us a city, hallelujah, where no unrighteousness will dwell. By the revelation of this one Lord, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Excuse me. Of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a prefigure. Notice, look, we know that these people in the Old Testament, they had the Bible first in the heavens. And in the heavens, we see that there would be a bleeding, dying lamb. There would be Virgo, and we have Leo the lion. The first coming is from by virgin. The last is a lion of the tribe of Judah. By the revelation of this one Lord, Abraham had a promise that he'd have seed as many as the stars in the sky. So they look to the stars and see the family up there. And it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. How did he know that? Because God promised him of all that through him all the seed would be. So, hey, if you've got a promise from God and you believe, you have the revelation of the one true Lord, God could ask you to cut them in 10,000 pieces, and God's going to be able to put them back together again. Because God had to fulfill his word. God's not a liar. by the revelation of this one Lord, Isaac. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By the revelation of this one Lord, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of the step. By the revelation of this one Lord, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Hey, there's going to be a resurrection. It's going to be in the land of promise. I want to be there for it. By the revelation of this one Lord, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the revelation of this one Lord, Moses, when he was come of 2 years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And remember, the Scripture told us when we read in the beginning that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By the revelation of this one Lord, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is the invisible. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance, it's the person of things hoped for. It's the evidence of the invisible one. Through faith, through the revelation of this one Lord, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By the revelation of this one Lord, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were doomed or were drowned. By the revelation of this one Lord, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see, every single one of these miracles is by the revelation, came about by the revelation of this one Lord. By the revelation of this one Lord, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson and Jephthah, and of David and Samuel, and of the prophets. And let's not forget the judges that God raised up over Israel as well. Paul mentions Gideon, but there was also Samson and Shamgar and Jephthah and others. So I think that when we go into this mini-series on these characters, I think you'll enjoy looking at each one, perhaps seeing yourself in some of them, and seeing how when they got into their situation, their desperation, God stepped on the scene, because God heard the prayers of his children. All these who, through faith, who through the revelation of this one Lord, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Here we have a man, Moses, with the revelation of this one Lord. He was willing to go down into the greatest armed country in the world, who at that time ruled the nations. And he didn't have a weapon. He had a stick in his hand. Hallelujah. Shamgar, when he got tired of his crops, every time his crops got to full grown, then the Syrians came in. They took the land. They took it all. They left him but the grain that was left in the field. Heard the cries of his children, the cries of his wife. He didn't grab a sword. He didn't grab a hammer and sickle. He didn't grab a spear. He grabbed an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is? It's a stick that has a sharp end on it, and you prod the cattle to get them moving. I've seen little boys in Africa. They had maybe 7 or 8 cows. They had this little stick with a little point on the end, and they just hit the backside of the cow, and he'd jump forward, keep moving. That thing in the natural would break the first time he struck any of those men. But he had a revelation of the one true Lord. And the Bible says he killed 1,000 of them, or 600 or something like that, with an ox goad. Samson, with the jawbone, the old dried out jawbone that he saw in the desert, he just picked it up. Hammered, took that like a hammer, and broke through 2-inch thick armored plate Because he had the revelation of the one true Lord. What are you doing with the same revelation of the one true Lord? You preparing your family for going home? You preparing your family for meeting the Lord very soon? You preparing your family for the time of the squeeze, which is just about upon us? You preparing your family for the time when a wicked woman will rule? Didn't say the woman would govern. She would rule America. So we're going to get into that a little bit too. All these who through faith, through the revelation of this one Lord, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, through the revelation of this one Lord, walked into a furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter. Hallelujah. You see, all of these tie in with desperation. What if they came today and decided, we're going to send you people into a fiery furnace? Would you go shouting and screaming and saying, I repent, I've become Muslim today? Or do you have the revelation of this one true living God? Women received their dead, raised up to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, who did the report come from? God. All of these, having obtained a good report through faith, through the revelation of this one Lord, received not yet the promise. In other words, they didn't come to the manifestation of it. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They are waiting on you and I to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. The whole world is groaning and travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So in this sermon on desperation, we'll see Brother Brown illustrating how desperation is like a quickening agent, or simply, it is a tool that God uses within us to quicken us to the promises He has already given to us. And this quickening is the coming into manifestation of those promises that He has already given us through His Word. But when God sees we are desperate to receive them, He quickens them to us and they become manifested promises. And when the bride of Christ becomes conformed to the image of the firstborn son, and she's becoming more and more, when word is piled upon word upon word, it'll take a hold of every fiber of her body. That's words from the prophet. She's coming more and more and more into that image until finally that image becomes manifested word. Hallelujah. And Brother Bram illustrates in this sermon how that when the believer becomes desperate to hear from God, that each went to prayer. And when they did, that is when they heard from heaven. In his sermon, God in Simplicity, Brother Bram said, when a minister walks into a congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused and the Spirit is grieved. Therefore, this morning, we're going to cover several more of the characters that Brother Brown brings out in this sermon called Desperation. And so this morning, we're going to look at a character, Bible character, that Brother Brown mentions in paragraph 70, and that is Jonah. Notice what Brother Brown says of Jonah here in paragraph 70. Jonah was thrown overboard in the time of a storm in the bottom of the sea in the belly of a whale. All hopes of survival was gone. He couldn't see anything because he's in the belly of a whale. But it happened to come on his mind that Solomon, in dedicating the temple, said, Lord, if the people be in trouble anywhere, and they'll turn towards this temple and pray, then hear. And turning over in the belly of the whale, he managed to get somewhere to his knees, I imagine, with the vomit of the whale all over him. And there he prayed in desperation, and in that desperate, now just a few breaths of oxygen is all that he had in the whole belly, whale's belly, and in the few breaths that he was drawing, maybe he didn't know which way that he was, but said, Lord, I believe I'm looking up towards your temple. And with just a few breaths to go, in desperation, he prayed under those circumstances, never been done before, but he was desperate and he prayed, and God kept him alive for 3 days and three nights and delivered him at the place to deliver his message. Desperation. Why 3 days and three nights? Because Jesus said the Son of Man would be in the belly of the earth, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Now, we find this story in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. Now, Jonah, being a Jew, had no dealing with the pagans from Nineveh. After all, the Ninevites worshipped a god called Dagon, who was half fish and half man, according to their Babylonian religion. Also, we see Jonah run away from his command of God to go to these pagans and call them to repentance. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. That's where Paul ended up coming from hundreds of years later. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And notice this prophet was running away from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the Jonah had gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou this, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if it be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm for us unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We believe thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I. In other words, it was a pure hell for him in there. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the sea in the midst of the seas, and the flood compassed me about, All my billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. And the waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depths closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now notice that God had prepared a special fish to allow Jonah and God. And God commanded that fish to deliver Jonah to the city of Nineveh, which lays at the shore of the Tigris River in what was then Assyria and is now today modern Iraq. These people, as I mentioned before, worshipped a god called Dagon, who was part man and part fish. So God had this whole scene prepared, and knowing Jonah's disposition, he walked right into the trap that God had prepared for him to go to walk into, so that he, as God's prophet, would come to Nineveh out of the belly of the large fish, so they could see this man was a man sent from God. Because their God was Dagon in their mind. Which would make this man a prophet of God coming with a message from God. So you see how all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are thee called. You see the omniscience of God and how all things work together for the good of them who love Him and are thee called according to His purpose. Why? Because God planned it that way. He laid out every circumstance that will ever cross your path. His own word declares a man will choose his own path, but the Lord will direct his footsteps. We also read the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and though he stumble, yet he will not fall because the Lord upholds him. So even though Jonah tried to run, God knew that he would try to run, and God knew which way he would try to run, and so God had his prepared fish to meet him and deliver him to where God wanted him to go. And God planned it this way because there is no way that they would have accepted the words of a Jew or a Hebrew. So God had him come by the way of a prepared fish because he knew that that is what they believed to be their God. Now can you imagine that? God took charge of the whole thing. He said, I want this city to repent. I want you to go. And I know you're going to run. And you're going to run right into the place that I want you to go. And you're going to do it, and the way I'm going to prepare it is because they believe in a fish god. And so you're going to come out of the mouth of a fish as a representation of God. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. In other words, I want you to go with thus saith the Lord. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey and cried out, said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For a word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and satin ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published to Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, that neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink even water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will return and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now listen, these people didn't even have the character of Hezekiah, who said, Lord, you know my righteous life. You know that I've lived every moment of my life for you. That my life has been one to serve you, and I love you, and I hold to your word. And God said, okay, for that I'm going to give you 15 more years. Now we see a city that was pagan, and yet they did the right thing, and God honored that right thing. How many times have you been in a situation where you do the right thing, and God turns it into a greater blessing? Oh my. Look how God saw the repentance of a pagan people who obeyed the words of God through the lips of his prophet that he sent to them. And when they repented, God heard it, and he hearkened unto it, and he turned away his anger from them. And if America would only do the same, it might put off the judgments of God upon her. For we see in the book of Jonah that the judgment was proclaimed, and it was proclaimed by a prophet. And yet, because the people repented of God, God postponed the judgment. And in their day, and America has heard the proclamation of God's judgment through the lips of his prophet in this hour, how that America will be destroyed after that wicked woman is elected president. And we've seen how we've seen recently how Vladimir Putin himself said, if the American people elect Hillary Clinton, we will destroy America. It's all over the internet. All you gotta do is look. According to quite a few reports all across the internet, there is a report that reads like this. A grim Ministry of Defense, MOD, report circulating in the Kremlin today states that during President Putin's meeting earlier today with Aerospace Defense Forces, ADF, commanders, where he ordered them to accelerate the deployment of at least two more missile attack early warning system satellites, he further warned these military leaders about the facts regarding the American presidential election by stating to them, if it's Hillary Clinton, it's war. If it's Hillary Clinton, it's war. Look, she's a warmonger and her husband's a whoremonger. She is a wicked woman. She purposely had the Libyan Muammar Gaddafi killed, and then she laughed about it. It's on film for anybody that wants to watch. How anybody could laugh at the demise and the killing of another person, I don't know. In fact, Putin himself is recorded as saying that Hillary Clinton is the wicked witch of the West. She's the only person ever running for presidential office, or that was ever Secretary of State, that was photographed in a witch's outfit. According to this report, President Putin's decision to launch the Angara-class heavy carrier rocket from the Placette spaceport by the end of December to deploy these missile attack early warning systems, new generation satellites, ahead of a new president taking office in January 2017, in direct response to the Obama regime's activation on the Western Front in Romania, yesterday of its European phase Adaptive Approach, EPAA, missile system that Russia warns is a direct threat and leading some online commentators to warn that Romania might be reduced to smoking ruins. With President Putin having already ordered a Western Front military buildup in January to counter the Obama regime and NATO's aggression against the Federation, this report continues. Kremlin experts are also warning that there are no illusion about Russia being the intended target of this EPAA missile system, especially when viewed in the light of the statement made recently by NATO's new commander in Europe, U.S. Army General Curtis Scaparotti, who lied to the press telling them that Russia is the threat. As both the Obama regime and NATO continue to pour troops into Eastern Europe and conduct overtly hostile military maneuvers on the Federation border, this report states, President Putin was also forced barely a fortnight ago to order the MOD to form three new divisions to counter them. Who's the transgressor? The U.S. is a transgressor. We have 139 military bases around the world. Russia has two outside of Russia. What are we doing in Europe? In NATO? It's none of our business. Oh, you say, well, they're our allies. We should protect them. Then as Donald Trump said, then they should pay for it. They don't pay for it. It's the aggression of the New World Order, the elites, the Roman Catholic Church, because in Revelation 13, America is that beast that comes out of the nation. She's a nation, looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. And she is there to give life to the beast, which is Rome. So who's the aggressor? God is raising up Russia to destroy this nation. This nation will be destroyed. There won't be man, woman living. There won't be nothing. It'll be smoldering debris. Thus saith the Lord. It's in Isaiah chapter 2. It's in Isaiah 24. It's given to us as thus saith the Lord from a vindicated prophet of God in this hour. What is very strange about all this is that the world is now headed towards fulfilling the sixth and seventh vision that God gave to God's prophet William Branham in 1933. Even it's being acknowledged all over the Pentecostal world. They're now saying, well, we didn't agree with Brother Branham's doctrine, but hey, look it. If Hillary gets in, we know that Russia is going to destroy us. Five of those visions have already completed. The sixth one is in process right now. Look, it's in process right now. She's ahead in the polls by 12 to 16%. All the media is totally against Trump. There's a handful of people saying, we want to go back. We want to go back to when America was a righteous nation. When America had common sense. But the hordes and the masses are moving more. They want the government to give them everything. It's out of greed for one simple reason. It's greed. It's greed that the people said, give us Barabbas. And it's greed that they're saying, give us Hillary. And look what is driving the presidential elections today. If the people are not fearful for their very own lives, I don't know what. Half the people in this day fear Hillary Clinton coming into office, and they say that if she is elected, it's all over for America. And how right they are. Talk to people. They'll tell you, if Hillary gets in and continues this onslaught of America, she says that she wants to bring in five times as many Syrian refugees as Obama did. This nation is done. Notice their fear. The fear of destruction. And Brother Branham said in paragraph 16 of preparation, his message, and may I stop right here just a moment and say, I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. I believe we're at the end. And you know, Trump himself said this. He said, I don't believe in man-made global warming except this, that it'll be nuclear warming. That's what he said. He said, I fear the nuclear warning. I don't fear a man-made pollution caused global warming. But he said, that nuclear warming, that's what I fear. And I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. I believe that we are at the end. You can speak to people, you can put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States, they drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes and laugh at you, and everything else just the same. They are in the spirit of the last days, and God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit of destruction. God never did destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. And from this sermon, from that time, Brother Brass said, and so I won't have time in this meeting to tell you, but in 1933, this is the woman's nation. It's a number 13. It appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation. 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13, and everything's 13. And everything is a woman. And remember, thus saith the Lord. Listen, he said everything's a woman. When you come from Europe, the first thing you see is what? This woman standing there with a torch. Right? Thus saith the Lord, there will be a woman rule before the end time. Didn't say govern. Rule before the end time. She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman. I've seen her, a great woman. The nation bowed to her. It'll be one before the end time. Thus saith the Lord. Write it down and find out, you young people. See if it happens. If it isn't, I'm a false prophet. He put his whole entire ministry on the line right there. Notice Brother Ram's language here. He doesn't say govern. He says she will rule. And the word rule means to control, exercising dominion or dominating power, authority or influence over. So this is not speaking of a nice lady. This speaks of a dictator. For why we are not denomination. So remember this last day before the end time comes, that a woman. Now, you all keep this wrote down. There'll be a great powerful woman rise up. Either be president or dictator or some great powerful woman in the United States, and she'll sink under the influence of women. Now remember, that's thus saith the Lord. And Brother Brown gives us the character of this woman and uses the word rule, this nation, from Laodicean Church Jesus, but there'll be a powerful woman. Now remember, this is on tape too, a powerful woman, great woman. She'll either be president or it'll be a woman representing the Catholic Church, which I think it is, will take over here someday and she'll rule this country. And one thing that's always puzzled me, though, is I've always thought Brother Branham had described this woman herself as being beautiful. And I couldn't see how Hillary Clinton is ugly. She's not beautiful. But she wears very expensive clothing. Have you noticed? And I've always wondered how someone could be both beautiful and cruel and evil. But in this next quote, he doesn't say the woman herself is beautiful, but her clothing was beautiful. From 70 weeks of Daniel, he said, now I predicted, and I said, I saw the great woman stand up, looking beautiful, or beautiful looking, dressed in real high royals like purple. And I got little princess down here. She was a great ruler in the United States, perhaps the Catholic Church. A woman, some woman. I don't know her to be the Catholic Church. I don't know. I can't say. Only thing was that I saw the woman. That was all. You see, people want to think that the prophet knows everything, and he doesn't. Jesus, the Son of God, didn't know everything. He said, the Son doesn't know the day or the hour. Only what the Father shows me, that's what I speak. But God gave him a vision. And that's the way his ministry worked. Many times, they said, if you just want to know, you can read a lot about Brother Branham from perspective of people that worked with him. And they said Brother Branham would get the visions many times before in prayer before the meetings. Then he would come out and he'd see the person that was in the vision. Then he could say, thus saith the Lord, God has healed you. But until he saw the vision, he couldn't do anything. So God gave him a vision of a woman, a ruler, a ruthless, cruel, but beautifully dressed. He said, look, I don't know. It could be a woman, could be the Catholic Church, could be both. America will be ruled by a woman. Mark it and see if it's not right. A woman will take the place of president or something of great, some high power in America. Well, as Secretary of State, she's already been in high power. God's covenant with Abraham. And remember, this is America. America will... a woman... Well, I better leave it alone. But just remember this. I predict that a woman will be president before we're annihilated. That's right. I said that in 1933 by a vision. Well, that's not the Catholic Church. That's a woman being present. Once more, from the message once more, 1933, the Holy Spirit came one morning and told me seven things would take place before this nation was destroyed. One of them is that it's an old paper there in the church. Many have looked at it. How that we would go to war with Hitler and how Germany would fortify and build a Maginot Line, or the Siegfried Line, I believe it was, 11 years before it was even thought of, and how that automobiles would constantly shape like eggs, and how that they permit women to vote, and in doing so they would elect the wrong president. And in this would be a woman stand up that would govern the United States, not actually a woman, but a church. Then I see her with nothing but ashes. It's going to happen. Five of those things has perfectly been fulfilled exactly. How Mussolini would rise up and go to Ethiopian Falls at his steps, and he would turn to the people in shame with a woman many, many years before it happened, perfectly on the dot, and it's never failed, and it won't fail, because it's thus saith the Lord, and it's not contrary to this Bible. And from conference said, and I said, it'll come to pass before the end time comes, that there will be a great woman stand up in America because the United States is a marked woman. For number 13, she'll rise up, either be president or, I put in parentheses, perhaps the woman being beautiful and attractive will be the Catholic Church, but cruel at heart, and she'll lead the nation to pollution. Again, Jehovah Jireh says, I've seen in 33 how cars would look before the coming of the Lord, and they're pretty near in that shape. You remember I prophesied this. You mark it down in your books. I've told you many times, every time, there'll come a time America is a woman's nation and a woman will rise up sooner in America and become a great person like the president or somewhere before the coming of the Lord. I believe it, see? Just remember that. I've said that, and cars will become more like egg shape just before the total annihilation or the destruction comes of this nation. Let us pray. And from God keeps his word, he said, I've seen a woman lying. What's she called now? Lying Hillary. Huh? That's what even the newscasters call her that, some of them. They call her Lying Hillary. Vulgar as she was, and dominated the country. And I predicted that a woman will either be president or come into the great power of some sort in the United States before the total annihilation of the world. Keep that in mind. Why have they spent over a year, almost 2 years now, so-called investigating 100 FBI agents on that case, and there is no conclusion? Why? I'll tell you why. Because her boss, Mr. Obama, knew that she was using that server because he sent her 19 emails to that server. And all she has to do is say, okay, I go down, you go down with me. These people are as crooked as a snake because they're the children of the serpent. She's not going to get, Pastor, that's my wife. She's not going to get indicted. They won't do it. From faith once delivered to the saints, and they proved that actually Bernie Sanders won California 69% to 31%. That was the exit poll. They asked individuals coming out. And yet, when the polls were counted, she won by, 15% or something. All the young people were given these ballots that were, I don't remember what they call them, but they say, are you Democrat? If they said, well, I'm independent, or I'm new to this, so they gave them these certain ballots, and some of the workers have now come out and said that they were told not to count those ballots. All those young people following him were not even counted. I don't know how they're going to pull it off with, you know, the general election, but look, Romney was surging in 2012. There was 35,000 people in Cincinnati that showed up to his meetings. And yet, the state of Ohio, which they said there was massive voter fraud, the state went to Obama. George Soros, one of the most evil men on earth, owns a company that counts the vote. It's called Diebold. It's all fixed. The fix is in. And the prophet of God knew it back in 1956 or whenever the first, or 1933. Okay. For faith once delivered to the saints, and I said just before the end time comes, and now remember, I'll say this, before the end time comes, wrote 23 years ago, before the end time comes, there'll be a woman that'll be a great ruler in this nation. She will be either be president or something on that order, some great woman. And by faith, Moses, he said, just the two things left. And one of those great prophecies, that is a car, for cars to be on the road with remote controls looking like an egg, only you don't drive it, it controls itself. And then there'll be a great woman rise up, because America is a woman's nation. And a great woman will rise up and be president or something like that in this nation. And then there will become a total annihilation. The entire nation will be wiped out. And as I said before, Putin himself said, if that, he's talking to his own assembly. He said, if America elects Hillary Clinton, we will destroy America. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know the reasoning for Putin to say those things logically is because Hillary is a warmonger. She was responsible for disrupting most of the Middle East with the what do they call it, something spring, the Arab Spring or whatever they call it. And Father, we know that she's receiving hundreds of millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia and different countries that persecute their people. And we know that your vindicated prophet said, a woman will come, she'll rule America. But we know also immediately after that election, America will be in ruin. So Father, we're thankful we have a way out. And that way out is the same revelation of the one Lord that Adam had, that Abel had, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. And all the way through we see the dire times when the armies would march upon the people, and yet certain ones would rise up with the revelation of that one Lord. So where are we today, O God, when you yourself have come down with a shout and you revealed your lordship to us? Help us, Father, so to enter into that message and the revelation of Jesus Christ till we are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And as our brother said in the email, that we die to ourselves so that we can be conformed. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray.